God, I was so blessed by your testimony. It was just wonderful. And you know, the title of my message today is, And Jesus Healed Them All. So I'm so glad you finished with that healing. That was so amazing. Praise God. You know, as she was talking, as Christine was talking, I thought of the scripture that I had mentioned in a previous session, and that was the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember that? The next one is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that meek describes Christine to a T. It's a word that they use in the Greek. It's called praus, and it's usually referring to a horse. And a man who was looking for a horse that he could train and teach, he would go out into the paddock and he would look for a proud horse, a strong spirit. And he would take that horse because if it had the strong spirit and the teachable spirit, then he could do wonders with it. And that's what God's done with you, Christine. What a blessing. It's beautiful. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, said Jesus. He sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I just want you now to take you in your imagination to what happened here. Jesus walked into the synagogue, as was customary for him, in his own hometown. And as he stood there in his rabbi clothes, he was given the scroll to read for the day. And so he turned the scroll to Isaiah and read this scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." And as he took that scroll and read it, he looked at the people. And then he went and sat down on a chair. And the Bible says the eyes of everyone were on him. Now, what was so significant? He spoke these words. He said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And the amazing thing was, all through since the beginning of time, God had prophesied that Jesus, the Son of God, would come. And what he would do, he would heal the blind. That would be one of the signs that they should notice. And that he would heal the sick. And that he would die on a cross, and they would part his garments amongst them. All of those things happened. And the Pharisees, who knew the word, they could quote the Torah from beginning to end, dot and comma perfect, did not recognize Jesus when he came. Isn't that just amazing? And religion doesn't recognize Jesus. And then when he sat down, this really shocked the people, because you see, at the front of the temple, they had it all set out a certain way, but there was a chair that nobody ever sat on. That chair was very significant. It was put there in expectation of the Messiah, and he sat on that chair, and he said, "This day the scripture's been fulfilled in your ears," and he said, "This is the acceptable year of the Lord," which meant it was the year of Jubilee. Do you know they're having the year of Jubilee next year? Isn't that something? 2015, the year where people are set free, where everything is restored that they have lost, where everything is made whole. And he said, now it's happened. The Old Testament is about to finish. The law is about to go. And now we're going to enter in to the day of grace. Praise God. Then he said, if you read it in the Amplified, he sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, those who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. God knows and sees what's happening to people on the earth, and Jesus said, I have come to fix that. And in Psalm 147, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Isn't that wonderful? Only Jesus can heal a broken spirit. He does it from the inside out. Praise God. And he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I have to follow my notes because I've got lots of scriptures in here. You know, healing brings glory to God. God wants his people well, always has. He wants to see people whole. You can imagine that Adam, he wasn't created with anything wrong in him. There was nothing that separated him from God. His life was just perfect. It was beautiful. And yet he sinned. Isn't that sad? He couldn't blame it on his upbringing, could he? You know, I mean, today we make so many excuses. Oh, my mother didn't potty train me at the right time. This is why I'm in prison today, you know. No, there are calamities. But I tell you what, Jesus has come to heal calamities and make people whole. And so everywhere that Jesus went, he went about doing good and exactly that, healing the blind, healing the lepers, healing the lame. People were, it says in Matthew, great crowds came to him, bringing all these kinds of people. And the people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, and the lame and walking and the blind seeing. And do you know what they did? They praised the God of Israel. Hallelujah. False gods could not do that. No, Baal could not do that. All of those idols could not do that. They praised the God of Israel. Why? Because our God is alive. Hallelujah. And if you go to Israel, which some of you have, you'll find that they have a greeting and it says, Shalom, Shalom. And I don't know if you know what that means, but what they're saying is, how are you? Are you well? Is anything missing? Is anything broken? How can I make you well? The Hebrew language is a divine language. It was inspired by God himself, and he gave it to those people. And it's absolutely miraculous that God actually preserved that language that they're able to speak it today. There's quite a history there. And so Jesus came to heal us all of emotional pain, physical pain, and deliver us from spiritual death. But you know, let me see what I've got here. We can appropriate healing for ourselves by understanding the Word of God. And I'm going to speak on healing today because my title is Jesus Healed Them All. And the first way that we can appropriate what Jesus has done for us, I want you to understand that Abraham made a covenant with God, all right? If you go right back into the Old Testament, and what he did, he killed some animals and split them, and the blood was spilt, and he watched over that all night until there were footprints in the blood. That was a covenant that God said, I will take what is yours, and you can take what is mine. And so that's the covenant that Jesus made for us. He came down and made a covenant on our behalf because we could not. And he made it with his Father God and he signed it with his blood. And so we have a covenant with the Father through the blood of Jesus. It's quite a teaching, which I'm not going to go into. And so the first way that we can appropriate healing for ourselves is by faith. And by acting on the word of God. And there's an example in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood. Remember, Craig spoke about it last night, didn't he? And how that she had to position herself and touch the hem of his garment. Now remember that Jesus was a rabbi and he wore rabbi clothes. Do you know that Jesus wore designer clothes? He didn't wear a Hessian bag with a hole cut in it. He didn't wear a beggar's coat. He wore beautiful robes, so beautiful that when they did crucify him, they didn't want to tear them up. They were too beautiful. And on that uniform that he had, there would have been a purple sash that went around his neck that went right down to the hem of his garment. On the bottom of the sash was some, little fringe things sewn. And that represented the healing for the nations, a healing. And that woman, she had an understanding that she was a child of God. She was an Israelite woman. She had an understanding of the covenant of her fathers, of Abraham. And so when she crawled towards Jesus, she saw that hem of the garment there, that robe, and she thought, if I can just touch that, that represents healing, and I will be healed. And of course, you know the story that Jesus turned round after he spoke to her and said, who did this? And she came trembling and he said, daughter, be of good courage. Your faith has made you whole. And you can have faith in the covenant that Jesus has paid the price for your sin and for your sickness. And you can reach out and you can touch him by faith through understanding and knowing the word of God. You know, sometimes we have more faith than we realize. And I'd like to just share a little testimony that happened in New Guinea. I was pregnant with our son, Darren. Katrina was just very, they were 17 months apart, so she wasn't very old. And Greg had gone to lay, and I was here in the middle of the mountains all by myself in the house. And I thought I would try and do a little bit of sewing on the old treadle, you know, sewing machine. And I'm sitting there, but I had bronchitis so severe that I was actually coughing up blood and I felt absolutely dreadful. And so I remember sitting there and I started to get really niggly, you know. I was really feeling ill and I wanted to do this and I couldn't do it and nobody was around, you know. And I began to grumble at God. And I said, Lord, you said, you know, that I could be healed and you haven't healed me. So why didn't this happen? Why am I sick when I'm here serving you? You know, whoa, hey, hang on. He might be Abba Father, but he's still our God and we do have to respect him. And suddenly I pulled myself up and I thought, what are you doing? You know, and I said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I really am. I pushed back from the machine. I said, it doesn't matter whether I'm healed or not healed. You are the Lord God and you deserve respect. And I just am so sorry for the way and the attitude that I had towards you. Forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me. I'm not even asking to be healed. I obviously don't have faith to be healed, so I'm not going to ask you to be healed. And then I said, Lord, would you like to talk to me through your word? And immediately a scripture reference came into my mind. And I looked it up in the Bible, and guess what? It was the words that he spoke to that lady with the issue of blood. Daughter, be of good courage. Thy faith has made thee whole. Well, I thought, well, that can't be right. I don't have any faith. So I would have been healed before, you know. So I said, Lord, if this is really you, could you give me a confirmation? And sure enough, another reference went into my mind. And I looked that up and it was exactly the same words in one of the other Gospels. Daughter, be of good courage. Thy faith has made thee whole. I said, Lord, I don't understand this, but thank you. And I just praised him for about half an hour and, you know, cuddled Katrina. And I was just worshipping God. Within half an hour, every symptom had gone. Praise the Lord. Isn't that just wonderful? Sometimes we don't understand what happens in our spirit. We try and work everything out in our head, don't we? But no, we just need to believe God's word. The next way that we can appropriate healing for ourselves is by speaking the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Greg wanted to find out about this scripture and he tore it apart and he studied every single word in that scripture. And he says, well, Lord, I've studied all of that. And the Lord says, no, you haven't. He says, well, I did. He says, the Lord says, look at by. Little tiny word, by. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What does that mean? Well, the first word, by, means via in the Greek. Via. So faith comes via your ears, hearing, all right? And the second by is a different word. And that by means a channeling on an occasional basis. So there's hearing and hearing. You can hear with your ears, goes into your ears, and that's how you hear the word of God. And then it gets channeled down into your spirit. And from your spirit, you rule and reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And that's how it is so important to hear the word of God. We love the word of God so much. We've got CDs out there that are just scriptures spoken over music, or the book of Proverbs spoken over music. And I tell you, I'll give you an example in a moment, but at one time, okay, I was really sick with sinusitis. This was going back just before we went to Darwin. And it just bothered me so much. And the doctor wanted to go in and just clean all those passages out. And I went, no, that doesn't sound right, you know. So what I did, I got a little book from Kenneth Hagin called God's Medicine, and in there are all the healing scriptures. We have books out there with just healing scriptures on there. And I took these healing scriptures, and the first one that I read was, "My son or daughter, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all your flesh. Above else, all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." So we need to guard our heart, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you allowing to go into your ears and into your heart? And so I continued reading the scriptures. 1 Peter 2:24, "He who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin may be made alive unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." Go to Isaiah 53. And it says, "By his stripes you are healed." You see, there's a little space called time in eternity. Eternity is that side, eternity is that side. And this little space that belongs to us is 6,000 years. In the middle is Jesus on the cross. And that was the shadow of things to come. So up until the Old Testament, it was a shadow of things to come. In the New Testament, it's been given. It's all ours, praise God. And so anyhow, I got these scriptures and I read them every morning and I read them every night. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. I've just learnt something interesting I'll throw in here for a bit of information. I was reading a book by Caroline Leaf, who's a brain scientist. And she said, "Do you realise that when you go to sleep at night, your brain actually grows new baby brain cells?" Isn't that interesting? And the scripture says that his mercies are new every morning. And so our brains form patterns, little roads, you could say, you know. And some people get in the habit of just translating everything as negative. So whatever happens to them, whatever's said to them, it goes down, you know. And positive people, they have a habit of turning everything negative up into good. You know, you have these pathways in your brain, but you can train your brain. His mercies are new every morning. What is it that you set before your eyes first thing in the morning? It's important, isn't it, to get our brain on the right track, to start the day. "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." It's a choice, praise God. So anyhow, 12 months went past, morning and night, driving the car, you know, speaking the scriptures, ironing the clothes, speaking the scriptures, washing the dishes, speaking the scriptures. And anyway, I had to go pick the kids up from school, and I dropped them off at school, and I'm driving home again. And I thought, oh, better speak the scriptures. And I thought, it's like chewing on old sticks. I really know them so well now, and I'm just parroting them off, you know. And suddenly, I can't describe what happened, but it was like a light went on. Suddenly, I just understood what those scriptures were in here. And it was just like a light went on. I wasn't even thinking about getting healed. That wasn't an issue anymore. Suddenly, I was rejoicing because of what I saw, the revelation that I saw in those healing scriptures. And I began to worship and praise God. 3 days went past, and then, you know, these sinuses cleaned out. I mean, all this muck and rubbish came out, and for the first time, you know, I could smell the people cooking bread next door, and I could walk down the street and smell flowers and trees and things that I hadn't done for ages. They were clear simply by speaking the word of God. So another way that you could receive your healing is the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18:20 says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." And I just thank God for the corporate anointing, for the body of Christ. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst, the Bible says. And I've got two testimonies here. It's wonderful. The first one was after we came back from New Guinea, we pioneered a church in Perth. And a lady came along whose name was Ellen. Her and her husband and her son, they all got saved. They were some of our first converts there in the church. And we had Bible studies in our home. And Ellen came along to this Bible study. And in the middle of it, she just started weeping. And, you know, everybody's saying, "What's wrong, Ellen? What's wrong?" And she said, "Oh, it's my boss. He came in today and he cleaned out all of his desk. He even took his coat from behind the door because he's been, he has terminal cancer and they've given him 2 weeks to live." And she said, "He is such a lovely man. You know, I just don't want him to die." Now, this very often in as God operates, there are several things that take place. And suddenly, out of the blue, I said, "Ellen, God is going to heal that man. Don't you worry." And Greg, he looked at me and he's going, "So? He's not even a Christian, you know." And I said, "But he is, I know he is." And so we all gathered round Ellen. And we just prayed and we rebuked that cancer. We bound it. We commanded it to go. So Ellen, she went to see her boss. He was in hospital and he wouldn't even let his wife buy him a pair of pajamas because he was so convinced that he was going to be leaving there, you know, in a box in a couple of days or so. And anyhow, the time went and he just got better and better. And finally, he left the hospital. No sign of cancer in his body. Praise God. So that is the prayer of faith. So anyhow, the prayer of agreement, should I say. Another thing that happened just recently, to me anyway, was not this last October, the October before, I had been getting pains in the chest for quite some time. And I was walking up a hill one day and it was so severe, I just had to turn around and slowly walk down the hill and go back home and rest. And I found at gym this was happening. So anyhow, we were due to go to Perth for 4 weeks, and it's quite a big schedule, you know. We can speak 30 times in 30 days, you know, pretty full on. And I thought, I'll go and have a checkup at the doctor's. And I just said to him, "I've been getting these pains, you know, my chest." He said, "Oh, I'll give you an ECG. And he came back and he says, "Oh, you've got a little bit of a flutter there." He said, "I think you should have an angiogram." And he says, "You better ring up and make an appointment." I says, "Oh, I can't because we're going to Perth, you know. I'll do it in 5 weeks' time." He says, "No, you won't." And he picked up the phone himself and he rang the specialist and said, "Can you get this lady in tomorrow?" So anyhow, I tootled off there tomorrow and I had to do a stress test, you know, and they gave me an ultrasound on the heart. And the doctor's watching this monitor. And suddenly, he just came in from another room and said, "Stop now, lie down. And he put an angina tablet under my tongue. And he says, "Now, from what I see on the monitor," he says, "your heart functions only 40%. He says, "It would appear the bottom half of your heart is quite thickened and you have a blocked right coronary. He said, "Tomorrow, I want you at the hospital at 7 o'clock because we're going to do an angiogram. And it is most likely that when you come to, you will have a couple of stents in your heart." He says, "But whatever the case," he said, "you will be on medication for the rest of your life." So anyhow, my little grandson, bless his heart, he came and prayed for me, laid hands on me. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, Lord, you know that my Nana never wants to have an operation. So she doesn't want this operation either, you know." And then I rang up a couple of friends in two churches on the Gold Coast there, and they gathered together and they were praying in agreement. The next day, I think it was a Thursday, I went to the hospital. There's my name in red at the top above all the other patients. And they take me in and I'm there all gowned up, you know, with the funny hat and the gown and the little booties and everything. And Katrina's sitting next to me and she says, "How you going, Mum?" I said, "Do you know what? I have such a peace in my heart. I know that I'm going to be fine. I just know it." And I said to the doctor, "Now, I'm very sensitive to this anaesthetic you give, so make sure it's very light because you don't want me to be asleep for 3 hours, you know." He said, "Okay, dear, we'll put the needle in through your arm and I'll just give you light anaesthetic for the angiogram." And I felt it go in. It's in this arm, actually. And I felt it even go into my heart. It didn't hurt, but I could hear the doctors talking. And I heard the specialist say, "I just can't understand this. I can't understand it. I can't find anything. We'll have to go in through the groin." And bang, I was out. But when I came to, he came and spoke to me and he said, "Mrs. Bedell," he said, "your heart is perfect. There's nothing wrong with you." Praise God. That was a real miracle. Okay, the next thing you can do is call upon the elders of the church. If there are any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I have another testimony here that, again, is faith and this scripture. We pastored this church in Darwin for over 10 years. And during that time, we kept collecting youth from families that kept leaving. And so we had about 100 young people in our church, and we conducted 42 marriages in 2 years. Can you believe that? Sometimes we'd have two on one day. So we just loved our young people, and oh, they were beautiful. But anyhow, one of these weddings, Greg was just greeting people and talking to people, and there was a couple sitting there, and they said, "Pastor Greg, come here." And they whispered, you know, like it's a secret. He said, "Yes." He said, "We believe in healing." And he said, "That's wonderful. I'm glad you believe in healing." She said, "Yes, but we're not from a church who believes in healing." And he says, "Well, why do you believe in healing?" They're still whispering. And they said, "It's our son." I think he was 24 years old, and he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He was told that he was going to die. And anyhow, he came home to his mother's house and father's house. Of course, they were Christians. And he opened the Bible, and there he found in James where it says, "If anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and they'll lay hands on him." And he thought, right. So he got the Bible, tucked it under his arm, and he walked down to the nearest church. He knocked on the door of the vestry next door. And the gentleman answered the door and said, "Hello, can I help you?" And he says, "Are you the pastor?" He says, "Yes, I am." He said, "You'd be the elder of the church then, wouldn't you?" Yes, I am." And he says, "Come in, young man." He thought he had a new convert or something. And he said, "What can I do to help you?" And the young man says, "Do you believe the word of God?" And he says, "Well, of course I do. You know, I'm a minister." And he says, "Well, look what I read here." And he read it out of James. And he says, "I'm the sick, you're the elder, and it says here, if you lay hands on me and anoint me with oil, I'll be healed." So he got his hand, he says, "So anoint me and heal me." And the poor man had no choice. What was he going to do? You know? Probably one of those churches, you know, high steeple, few people type churches. And all he could do was comply. But you know what? That young man was healed. So it was his faith, his obedience to the word of God, and the pastor is still trying to work it out. Praise the Lord. So Jesus wants us to know that as God is, so are we in this world. And the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal body. You know, God has a plan for your life where he doesn't want you to be sick. It's usually foreign things that come into us that are not from God that cause sickness, fear, anxiety, you know, calamities and all things like that. Thank God he's provided healing for us. But the same anointing that Jesus spoke about, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, is the same Spirit that is in you and upon you. Isn't that something wonderful? No, it's not something you can hide under a bushel. It's something that God wants you to really, really seek for. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying in Matthew, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The Father was going to deliver all power to Jesus in heaven and in earth. You know, when Jesus was down here, he says that no man knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man will come. But let me tell you, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. There's nothing hidden from him. He knows when he's coming back. Praise God. And he says, "And behold," in Luke, "I give unto you power." to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus has given us all power. He took heaven's portion of power, and then he gave us earth's portion of power. He said, I'm leaving here. The Holy Spirit's coming. And he says, that spirit in you gives you all the power and authority over all the power of the enemy. When you're in fear, you've been hoodwinked. You know, you have to tell the devil to get on his donkey and get out of there. Yeah? You know, Satan comes and he talks in your ears and, oh, are you really a child of God? Oh, well, do you really believe, you know? And do you really think this is going to work out good for you? What makes you think you're so special? Oh, come on. You know, he is such a liar. There's no truth in him. Recognize his voice. The Holy Spirit is a friendly voice. Listen to the friendly voice. Don't listen to that accusing, damning voice of the devil. We have to walk in discernment. Discernment of spirits is not saying, oh, you're a spirit of smoking or you're a spirit of alcohol, you know. Not necessarily. It's a human spirit, the Holy Spirit, or a demonic spirit that we need to discern. What is speaking to you? And he says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He says, I give you authority. Use it. And so in Matthew, Jesus said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Or you could say, whatever has been bound in heaven, you will bind. Whatever is loosed in heaven, you will loose. Well, Satan has been bound from the heavenly command, from the throne of God. So you have power to bind him too. And when he comes to you, you can say to him, hey, what's the matter, you? What, have you got no respect? You know, shut up at your face. Get out of here. Tell him to go in the name of Jesus. You have power to do that. And then it says, and whatever is loosed in heaven, you will loose. We can loose the anointing on people. We can bless. We've got that book out there, Bless and Curse Not. Why? Because as God is, so are we in this world. God created the world by the words that he spoke. Do you know that you create the world that you live in by the words that you speak? Oh, you stupid kids, you'll never amount to anything. What a dreadful thing to say. But you hear Christians saying it, don't you? We met a lady once who was one of three girls, and her mother constantly spoke over her and her sisters and said, you kids are nothing but little pains in the neck. And do you know what? All three girls suffered from pains in the neck. That mother cursed them. And so we need to be careful what comes out of her mouth. So sometimes sickness may be the result of a spirit of infirmity. And if it's so, you don't have to go looking for demons in doorknobs. The Holy Spirit will reveal that through the gifts of the Spirit. And I have worked in those areas too. But very often, it's just something that's come in through the negativity of our own belief in our life. And so there's the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. And that's wonderful. God's given us all these things because he wants us well, folks. He wants us well. You know, seek them out. Study them. Find out what God has given you. The word of knowledge, visions and miracles, as described in 1 Corinthians 12. And I shared this story along the way, but I think you'd be really blessed by it. When we were in New Guinea, I used to have what we called was Mary's Club on a Wednesday, where all the ladies from the outlying villages would come and they would learn how to look after their children, how to use soap, how to be clean, how to cook, you know, because all they ever did was cook sweet potato in the fire, how to sew and do other things, you know. And they loved it, and I loved them. And they would always have a little bit of teaching. Well, on the mission, our job, God very clearly showed us, was not that we should run out over the mountains preaching the gospel, but we were to take a nucleus of people that God had prepared, train them, and they were the ones that would take the gospel to their own people. And so we did that. We had a Bible school. And in that Bible school, there was a young girl called Killy Killy. She would have been about probably 15, maybe 16. And Killy Killy had been sitting under the word of God and just absorbing it, very meek, Prowse girl. Killy Killy was a girl that refused the tribal elders when they wanted to marry her off to an old man who had four wives. And they said, if you don't do as we say, we'll hang you in this tree and burn you. And she said, well, burn me. And they did. They pulled her into a tree. They lit a fire under her. And they realized she wasn't going to give in. They let her down and she took off and she spent 3 months living on the mission until they all calmed down. She wouldn't marry that old man. Praise God. So anyhow, Killy Killy used to help me in the ladies group, but she also used to go out on the Sunday teaching and preaching in the villages. And one Wednesday, I noticed that one of my dear ladies, who was a little bit more older than the others, called Hallelujah, wasn't there. And I thought, oh, maybe she's, you know, maybe she's busy in the garden today or something. And I thought nothing of it. And then a couple of weeks went by and Hallelujah came into the meeting. And we held it in a shed, which was great. And as she walked in, everybody says, oh, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, you know, their language. And then she jumped up and she began to shout in dialect. I couldn't understand a word of what she was saying. But she was just very excited about something. And all the people began to praise the Lord and clap their hands. And anyhow, I turned to Killy Killy and I said, what's going on here, you know? And she said, oh, Mrs., you know, savvy, you know, you don't understand. She says, Hallelujah, I'll put it in English, took a stroke. And that's why she missed that first meeting on that Wednesday a couple of weeks ago. And she was lying in her little grass house. Now, they just have little round houses, dirt floor, no windows, just an opening and sometimes a door, and a grass roof, just like a thatched English cottage grass roof. And they would light a fire in the middle and the smoke would just go up and filter through the roof. And she was lying on the floor. She couldn't move. But that night she had a dream. And she saw Killy Killy coming into the village, climbing over the sty, so, you know, a little fence they had to keep the pigs out, coming up to where she was lying on the outside of the house, on the ground outside, and just raise her up from her sick bed. So the next morning was Sunday, and Hallelujah beckoned to her family. She was completely paralyzed down one side. And she said, put me outside. I want to lie down at the door on the ground. And they said, no, 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 you can't do that. You know, you're sick. But she insisted. Finally, they put her out there, probably on some banana leaves or something. And sure enough, it was time for Lotu church. And in came Killy Killy to the village, climbed over the stile, walked towards Hallelujah's little hut, saw her lying there on the ground, reached down and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And Hallelujah was instantly healed. Praise God. So we had a lot of things operating there, the gifts of the Spirit, visions, you know, the gift of faith and all sorts of wonderful things. But there are hindrances to healing. And, okay, praise the Lord. Could someone please tell me how we're going for time? Yes? Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Hindrances to healing. What hinders you from being healed? The fault is never on God's side, okay? Let me tell you, the leper came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, of course I will. If Jesus was so willing to bear those stripes on his back, do you think it would be his will for no one to receive it? Absolutely not. It's God's will that we are healed. And so the fault has to be on our side, doesn't it? And in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. Destroyed through lack of knowledge. And that destroyed means they are left dumb and silent with nothing to say. So if we don't have knowledge of the word and the enemy comes along and says, I'm putting this affliction on you, we are dumb and silent because we don't know what the word says. It's so important. I can't encourage you enough to really find out what the word says about you, to do word studies and to do studies on like the blood of Jesus, to do studies, you know, the parables and so forth. And even if you've got a red letter edition, just read all the words that Jesus spoke a few times. That'll build your faith. And so we find nowhere in the Gospels did Jesus tolerate any sickness. The second thing is the traditions of men. And this is a big one, guys, girls. Colossians 2:8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ." Okay? The Pharisees, they controlled the people. They hated Jesus because he was so popular. But they wanted to deceive the people and have them under their control through their traditions. And Jesus said they're like whited sepulchres. They've got whitewash on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. He says, don't even touch that religion because it'll destroy you. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Words have power, great power. Negative teaching can destroy your faith and stop you from receiving your healing. Don't be a man pleaser. And it just reminds me, you know, remember Nimrod in the early part of the Bible there? He wanted to build a tower to God. He didn't want to do it God's way. And so what did he do? He got some bricks and he got some mortar and he stuck them together and he built this tower. Every brick had to be conformed to the shape of the other one. No brick was allowed to be different. It was stuck together with man's philosophy, with mortar, man-made substance. God, on the other hand, he takes lively stones and he builds it into a holy temple. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So words create thoughts. And a wise man once said, if you can control a man's thoughts, you can control the man. And that's the difference between religion and life in Christ. And I got to trouble, well, not really got into trouble, but when I was young, I was going through some difficult times. Greg had been away for 5.5 months, Darwin after the cyclone, and I was on my own. And then Greg came back and he was so involved with the church and I had 2 children and, you know, life was hard. Well, sort of. Anyhow, I went and had a cup of coffee with a pastor's wife. And she says, Sue, you know, I've really noticed how Greg leaves you on your own a lot, you know, and you have to find your own way home from church and he stays behind and, you know, ministers to the youth all the time. It's not right, you know. He should be looking after you better. I said, hey, hang on a minute. I said, don't talk to me like that, you know. And she sort of sat back a little bit. I said, if you're going to tell me something, make sure you're telling me the word of God. Because you know why? At that stage, I hadn't even noticed I was being neglected. Well, I didn't know. I thought everything was fine. I really learned a lesson there. Don't interfere in other people's relationships. Because what you perceive as a good relationship or a bad relationship has got nothing to do with how that couple lives their life. You know, and we can't judge other people on what we think. And this is what this dear lady was doing. Not that I don't blame her. It's just human, you know. And so I didn't want to hear that about my husband. I didn't want to hear a negative report. And she sat back and she says, oh my, she says, you're very independent spiritually, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. And I would have only been in my early 20s. I said, because, I said, if you tell me some advice and I do it and it works, you get the glory. I said, if you tell me some advice and I do it and it doesn't work, then I blame you. You know, I said, but if God tells me, then I know it's going to work and he gets the glory. See, and that's how I've always thought. And we do have to be, you know, like, oh, how can I put it? Respectful and loving and caring to other people, but we can't let people control us and we can't control others. That's clear enough, isn't it? So, in Timothy, he suggests that, or he doesn't suggest, but he says, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. Train yourself to be godly. Don't let your mind have control. Don't let your mind run amok with thoughts that they shouldn't be there. And if you do, and if you go out and you hear things that you shouldn't hear, rein it in. Because I tell you, the Christian life is not sitting back in an armchair and saying, lay it on me, God. You know, it's work. It's work. And remember that the seed falls in ground. Some it's stolen. Some the word is choked with the cares of the world and money and deceit and so forth. Another brings forth 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. I want a good return. And so I really try and feed on the word of God. And I tell you, I'd like to do it more and more. Another thing is a form of false pride that says, oh, I'm not good enough to receive. You know, that's what I did in New Guinea. You know, I'm not good enough to receive. And if I hadn't asked God to talk to me, I probably wouldn't have got healed. Because, you know, I didn't have to be good enough. Let me just give you a clue. You never will be. Forget it. And then the other one is, oh, I'm too bad to be healed. Hey, Jesus came to pay the price for your sin. You know, he washed us clean. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is such a big part of the Christian life, and people are robbed so much of condemnation. Condemnation comes from the enemy who says, you're not good enough. You won't make it. No, you've got to push that aside. You know, the blood of Jesus is powerful. Look at the man of Gadarenes who came to Jesus. He was full of demons. 2,000 pigs ran over a cliff because of the amount of demons that were in him. No one could control him. He used to be chained and he'd snap the chains, you know. And yet, when Jesus reached the other side of the lake, that man was able to come and kneel before Jesus. Nothing can stop you from getting close to Jesus if that's what you desire. And he will fix it, praise God. Unforgiveness and condemnation will stop us receiving from the Lord. And lots of people, you know, they say, well, I've worked through this forgiveness thing. I know that God's forgiven me. And I know that the person that I hurt has forgiven me. But I can't forgive myself. Oh, you know, we're so proud, aren't we? I can't forgive myself. You know, and that is just such a lie of the enemy. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You didn't get condemnation from God. He didn't give it to you because he hasn't got any. You had to manufacture that yourself. And the enemy's laughing because they're stopping you from receiving what God wants you to have. God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If you recognize fear in your heart, you recognize that it's foreign and it shouldn't be there. And the only thing that can overcome it is the word of God, because God's given us a sound, clear thinking mind. And not only that, love, a security knowing how much God loves you. So very often I will bind my mind to the mind of Christ and I'll say, Lord, I don't like what I'm thinking at the moment. And so in the name of Jesus, I bind my mind to the mind of Christ, that my thoughts will be his thoughts and Jesus, your thoughts will be my thoughts. And you know what? I find that works. I do. I find that works. And then I will meditate on the word of God. And whatever those thoughts were, they have to go, because you can't have light and dark dwelling in the same place, can you? And there is a battlefield. There is a battlefield, and it all happens in the mind, which is the soulish realm. I just wanted to show you something. This little book here, Tokens of Forgiveness, is the story of the prodigal son. And it touches on a lot of what I just spoke about being forgiven. And there's a little bit of Israeli culture in there as well. So if you're having a problem with condemnation and unforgiveness, read that. Doesn't mean that, you know, the person that offended you, that memory is going to disappear. It's just that memory won't have that sting. It won't have that pain. It won't have the ability to go, ugh, in your heart, you know. Jesus will set you free from that. And the next thing, we have a commission from the Lord. Jesus said, go, preach the good news. You do it now. I've done it. Now it's your turn. You go and do it. You're my body. Go into the world and preach the gospel, the good news. Praise God that people do not have to be bound. And it says, and these signs will follow them that believe. And I like to put it this way. These signs will follow them that believe that these signs will follow them. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, if you don't believe that's going to happen, you won't do it. So how are you going to believe? How are you going to fulfill this commission? Hey, the word of God. It's putting the word in your heart and putting it into practice and going out and giving what you've received. And so the disciples, they took this to heart and they went and preached everywhere. Oh, I love this scripture. The Lord working with them through the accompanying signs. If you preach condemnation, people will be condemned. If you preach love, people will enter into an experience of a love relationship with the Lord. If you preach healing, the Lord is there to confirm his word with signs following, and his spirit will move. I can't heal the wart on a frog. You know that? I can't heal anything, but Jesus can. Remember that in the first scriptures that I wrote, that the crowds brought the people to Jesus. And that's what you're doing. You're bringing the people to Jesus. Say, hey, Jesus, come on. You know, and believe that he will do it. These signs will follow them that believe. I love to pray for the unsaved. They get healed a lot quicker sometimes than Christians, because they've got all this stuff in their head they've got to deal with, you know. And the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. Oh, isn't that a beautiful scripture? That's in Psalm 145, verse 8, if you're taking notes. That's a good one to meditate on. And I'd like to finish with just one story. When we're in Darwin, we saw lots of wonderful things with people. And one day, a young man came to us and he was very sad. He said, look, I've only been a Christian for a short time. He said, and my wife, Lorraine, is so angry that I've become a Christian. She wants to leave me. And he said, will you please come and talk to her? She said that she would listen to you if you came. And Greg said, of course I'll come. But, oh, that was on the phone, that's right. So anyhow, when he put the phone down, Lorraine turned around and said, yeah, and when that preacher gets here, I'm going to scratch his eyes out. Whoa. She was really angry. She had venom. And poor Graham, he didn't know what was going to happen. So Greg came around. Well, Greg left there 3 hours later, still unscathed. But the lady, she listened, but she didn't stay with her husband. She left him because he was a Christian. And she went out having a wild time. And she got herself pregnant. Now, before this happened, before she got pregnant, I was conducting a ladies' meeting one time, and a new lady came in that I hadn't seen before. And immediately my message changed, and I started to minister on the love of God. And I could see this lady's face, that she was just drinking in every word. And after we'd finished, you know, I went out to where she was. She'd walked out on the veranda and lit up a cigarette there, and she's standing there. She says, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, no. I said, we haven't been introduced, but I'm really glad you came. I hope you enjoyed it. She says, I'm Lorraine. She said, I came here today because I hate Christianity, and I wanted to find out why I left my husband. And I said, oh, Lorraine. I says, what a great thing you did. I was so happy I gave her a big hug. I said, come again. You know, this is wonderful. We're just so happy you came. So anyhow, this poor confused lady, she walked away. And that's when she got pregnant. So anyhow, several weeks went past, and I got a phone call from Lorraine. And she said, Sue, it's Lorraine here. I says, hi, how are you going? She says, I'm pregnant. She said, I'm 3 months pregnant. I don't know who the father is. She said, but I've had an ultrasound, and my baby has been diagnosed with no liver, no kidneys, and is spina bifida. I said, oh, Lorraine. I said, that is so sad. She said, you know, I'm pretty upset about it. And I said, Lorraine, let me pray for you and let me pray for your baby. She said, no way. She said, I hate God. I said, yeah, I know. I said, but God doesn't hate you, and he certainly doesn't hate your baby. I said, God wants to heal your baby. Will you let me pray for you? And I said, I'll get our ladies to pray too. And she said, okay, okay. So I prayed with her over the phone, and then I went to our ladies and, you know, got them praying for her as well. Well, another 3 months went past, and we didn't see Lorraine. But one Sunday, Greg was preaching, and we had quite a large congregation by this time. And at the end of the service, he said these words, there's someone here today that's made a bargain with God. And God has kept his side of the bargain, but you've reneged on yours. And God's calling in the chips. He wants you to keep your part. And so anyhow, he didn't know that Lorraine was sitting right at the back there. She still wasn't with her husband. But a lovely Christian couple invited her home that evening. And she went there and she says, you know, that Greg, the preacher, he was talking about me. And they said, well, why? What happened? She said, well, I was pregnant and I had two doctor's certificates to say that I needed to have an abortion when I was 3 months pregnant. She said, and I got prayed for and I didn't want the abortion. She says, and now, she said, I'm nearly 6 months pregnant and I've just received a very stern letter from the doctor saying, you get yourself in now, you've left it too long, you know. And she said, when I got that letter, I knelt down by the bed and I said, God, if you're real, you heal my baby, I'll give my life to you. So she went and kept the doctor's appointment the next day. They took another ultrasound, and there they had, or x-rays or whatever they did, and there they had the two things. One, a baby with no liver, no kidneys and spina bifida, and there was a perfectly healthy whole baby. Anyhow, she gave birth to that baby, and she called the baby Zoe, the God kind of life. Of course, she repented and got right with God as well. God's not going to let you get away with things, is he? Praise God. And so I think we'll just leave it there. And all we have to do is to receive and believe. And I just pray, you know, as you've been listening to me now, that your faith has been built up. And I don't know who has what, you know, if there are any needs here at all. I would just like to say this, though, as I said, you know, the Word of God is so precious and beautiful to us. And one of the little books that we have out there is Write the Vision, Make It Plain. Set it before your eyes. Run with it. It is for an appointed time. Yes, it will happen, all right? But you have a part to do. Write the vision. Make it plain. Write it down. Make it plain what you want from God. You know, ask him. When I was believing God for my sinuses, someone prayed for me and they said, what are you believing for? I said, when I go to the doctors and he cleans out the sinuses with his instruments, that it'll be absolutely clean. And so I went along and that happened. But I was still not healed, you know, whole. It took 12 months of the word to do that. And so I got what I asked for, didn't I? So you have to be specific with God. And the other thing too, I'd just like to hold these up. These are so precious. Remember in my testimony I said that my mum and dad told me that God made me and that God loved me. Well, these little books are for children up to about 6 years old, and they all glorify God. They make known to them that God is the creator, like in Genesis chapter 1. Hey, Christine, yeah. And our beautiful daughter Katrina has written 100 poems in there that just show the amazing handiwork of God in his creation. So you can have a look. The other thing that we really love is to create an atmosphere of praise and worship. And we've got some CDs out there that there are no words on them. They are just beautiful, anointed music. And I have four of them and I put them on back to back. And I've got some other scriptures there. And anyhow, there's been times where I'll be really in deep meditation, studying the word with this playing in the background. And suddenly the last one will finish and on will come a, you know, a Christian rock band sort of thing. And I was bang, crash, whoa, you know, wakes me up. But you can create an atmosphere in your home. And these are actually used, people have told us they bought them and put them into the class of disruptive children, children with behavioural problems. And they see the whole lot just calm down, you know. Good to put on before the kids get home, hubby gets home, good stops road rage on the road, wonderful. Anyhow, Praise God. I might just ask my beautiful sister if she would like to just come up and finish the meeting for us. And I might just grab that drink of water over there.